There's some disputing going on over there. I'm not getting involved in that. But good to see everyone, and glad that we're all able to gather tonight. Can you believe we're almost at Resurrection Sunday? I don't know about anybody else, but I keep sensing like we just started 2025 and it's April. It just keeps moving very quickly. I want to remind us, brothers and sisters, April 12th, Passover begins. And I really am encouraging us to be in prayer for the Jewish people to truly come to see the real, the true Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. Pray for that. Pray for the scales to come down and for eyes to be open, brothers and sisters. And it's interesting, the psalm tonight where we land, it kind of, we'll see that it strikes both Passover and Resurrection Sunday in ways that it's been used. And as I was in the preparation with this text, it was interesting. It was like, wow, you know, the Lord is so faithful for having us in his word where he needs us at that right time. So it's truly beautiful. And before we delve into this next psalm, I want to remind us, let's focus our hearts on the word of God now. It's that reminder that I think we need because it's a busy week, right? How many of you had a busy day today? Lots of us, you know. So what is it to come in here, to come and be refreshed, to come and spend time with him, but to ask yourself, why are you here? Why here? And remind ourselves we're here, we're going to delve in the word of God. As we delve in the word of God, we anchor and embrace the Spirit of God. We seek that filling afresh of the Spirit of God. And as we seek that filling afresh of the Spirit of God, that we then can live in his way as he ordains, his word, his spirit, his way. That's why we're here. It's 3 points that have a lot of depth when you go back to it. Don't just take it at his word, his spirit, his way. Yeah, but what are we really doing? His word, anchoring in the word of God, letting it speak through the power of his spirit, and then being empowered to live his way, going forth and sharing the gospel, going forth to be who he has called you to be the husbands and wives, the moms, the dads, all of it. It's all ties together. So as we now get ready to dig in, let your hearts focus on that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy One, Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift that we have to freely gather together. Lord, our prayers have to start with thanksgiving, Father God, for when we realize who we're speaking to, the God of creation that first loved us, that gives us access to you at all times. Lord, we say thank you, Father. And Lord, as we now go into your word, we say, teach us, Father. Lead us, Father. Guide us, Father. Refine us for your glory. Lord, help us to focus on you right now. Help us to cast aside the things that we can think are important, our emotions, the problems that we're facing, and to just have open hands. Father, speak. Here I am, Lord. I'm listening. Lord, through your spirit, empower and enable me to bring forth what you need for your people. Have your way in this place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So last week we were in Psalm 65, and with that psalm reminding us, it was a moment of looking at pure praise. We had a psalm of David that we were looking at, and in it we went through and saw this was one where there weren't requests, petitions. It was just looking unto the Lord God Almighty. How often we forget to do that, to just look at him, to praise him. It was a reminder last week of his desire for us to come to that presence of the Lord with an atmosphere of praise, that he desires to come to find us with that atmosphere of praise. That's why I reminded us, we've got the worship set, services at 10, worship isn't the, all right, as long as I'm in by the fourth song, we're good to go. No, get here to have the whole time to go before him
It's a time to empty yourselves, empty your hearts, empty yourselves before him. I remember when I first got saved, one pastor made a joke, and he said, you know, if I told you you get $1 million if you show up on time, you'd all be in that parking lot, boom, boom, boom. So pretend you get $1 million, because what you get in Jesus is way more than $1 million. So just reminding us that. We saw in this psalm the beauty of his creation. We saw the glory of our King, because that's what we see in creation. That's what we see, because he is the God of creation. We saw in this psalm joyous praise. As we look at this and we're really hitting praise with these next few psalms, it's going to have us explore our praise. And I ask again, how is your praise life? If we said, okay, how's everybody doing? What'd you sing as a family this week? What tunes did you praise the Lord with? How are you doing with that? And that's a real question. Do you praise and sing as a family? Do you do that? And if you don't, start tonight. Go home and sing to the Lord together. Do it tonight. Because we should be praising our King. As we go through Psalms, this seems to be a repeated question, but it's repeated and it's necessary. It's repeated and it's necessary. Last night, men had a guest, a beloved brother, a pastor friend, Pastor Tim from Calvary Chapel Riverbend, came and spent some time with the men. And as we were delving in, he and I were having a talk, and it was fascinating to see, because we talk about a lot of things, but he wasn't at the last huddle, and we didn't get to talk about where the Lord's leading our hearts for our churches. But both of us, there's such a burden that people need to be in prayer. It's like, whoa. Coincidence? I think not. There's a Lord guiding his bride. But in that also, he talked last night of how we give so much value to things, but prayer isn't given the value that it needs. And I, at that point, said, you know, I got to say, our body's getting better with that value. Praise the Lord. But you know what? What about praise? I think that's one of those things, that value, to praise the Lord God Almighty, to praise him. Because remember what we saw last week, he's God Redeemer, God Creator, God Provider. Those three alone are reasons to praise, not, right? Praise, praise, praise. So charge, one, explore how you praise our King. How you doing with that? Any changes made? The other piece was to explore Isaiah 55. And think about that, and to pray for Israel this Passover season, to pray for Resurrection Sunday, to pray that his bride would seek to bring forth the word. Because there's a great invitation when you see the text of Isaiah 55. And then there was the charge to ponder God as Redeemer, as Creator, as Provider. I don't know about you, but for myself and my own prayer time this last week, those moments really saying, Lord, I want to do that. I want to ponder and think and meditate on you as Redeemer. I couldn't get much farther. Then I would try to go to Creator. Could you just stick there? And then when you think of Provider, and to humbly think of the ways we sometimes take for granted how the Lord provides, the breath I'm breathing, the family I have, the fellowship amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, the chance in times as these to be his light in a dark world. He's providing that opportunity. It's powerful to think about that. So tonight, we go on to Psalm 66. The title of tonight's message is Memorialized Praise. Memorialized praise. And you know, I like to talk about memorializing moments in our lives. And when we think about memorializing, it's that placing a stake. It's that remembering of something so that you remember things the Lord has done. That when you then think of them, when you then go back to them, you can't help but praise. You can't help but give praise. And again, these Psalms 65 to 68 that we're hitting, it's praise psalms. It's almost like we take a little pause in where we were in Psalms, and the Lord's like, okay, let's just focus and remember. How do you praise? Praise. As we see God as who he is, we should praise. We were going to see in this psalm concrete moments of his hand recalled and remembered, and praise flows forth from that. This psalm is a psalm of celebration, and it's celebration of some national deliverance that takes place. And we're going to see in this psalm a call for the earth, a call for all nations to praise God. And it's interesting where this psalm starts, because when we think we're in the Old Testament, these are the psalms, this is the Jewish people, it's interesting that this starts with a call truly for the Gentiles to praise. And we're going to also see in that call a representative from the nation, how that one praises. And it's going to have us examine our individual praise life and think about the vows and sacrifices we give. And we're going to see an exhortation that we are called to pray and praise. As I've spent time in this text, I see it as a good example of biblical worship for two reasons. It's descriptive and it's declarative. What I mean there, it describes who God is, who he is and his character, and it declares all he's done. And that's worship. That's worship from the word of God. Worship should describe the character and nature of our mighty King, and worship should look to everything he's done. It looks to his character, his nature, his works, his acts, his faithfulness. And this psalm's going to remind us of that. And we, with the whole counsel of the word of God, get to look at it in the lens of all that will come through Christ. And again, it opens seeing God over all. But we know God over all is only possible with the people he chose, the apple of his eye, Israel, and the covenant promise that he made to bless all nations through them, the Jewish people. This is going to be another one of those psalms where we're reminded why Israel matters. We're always talking about Israel. It's there. It's in Scripture. It's his chosen people. It's why we pray for Israel. That's why we continue to pray for Israel with everything going on in the region right now. That's why, because Israel matters. This is a psalm that opens with a Gentile call to praise. It's going to explore the faithfulness of his memorialized works with Israel. It's going to show the praise and the refining of Israel through trials. And that refining is applicable to every single believer today. Every single believer, that refiner's fire, we all go through it. And we're going to see that application. We're going to see the need for individual praise. And we're going to be reminded why we pray, why we praise. It's essential. It's essential. In this psalm, in the title, to the chief musician, a song, a psalm. We see a song and psalm, those two phrases tied together again, that idea of that lyrical poem, because praise being sung and spoken. Saints, do you do both? Do you sing and speak your praises unto God? Because it's both, where we should be doing both. I had a brother reach out, you know, Pastor, should I just keep my prayers in my head so that the enemy can't hear them, or do I pray out loud? And it's like, let's talk about that. Because David shows us time and time again, let it forth to the Lord God Almighty. The author of this particular psalm, guess what? We're on a pause from David. It's not David, author's unknown. The exact timing, also unknown. Now you'll see some who will say maybe this is King Hezekiah's trust when everything was going on during Sennacherib's siege. But then others will point to perhaps this is after the release from the Babylonian captivity. We don't know exactly. And as I like to remind us in those cases, we've done enough of these. When the Lord wants us to know the exact pinpoint, he's faithful, he tells us. But something that this does do is, again, it reminds us of the heart of praise. And how necessary it is to search our hearts when it comes to praising God. So we dig in and we start. Verse 1. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Notice where it starts with, a shout. What kind of shout? A shout for joy. Who? All the earth, the Gentiles first, all called to worship and praise. What did Jesus say when he was with the Samaritan woman at the well in John 4? Salvation is of the Jews. All are called, and we know through Christ there's the opportunity for all to come. That's why, saints, we shouldn't be attacking and persecuting Israel, but thanking God for their spiritual contribution. Realize that. All come. How do they come? A joyful shout. Now, Psalm 62, we saw there was silence, and we see there is that within worship, but right now it's a call for a joyful shout. So here's my question. When was the last time you shouted, hallelujah? When was it? In your car or in your home? When was the last time you just said, praise you, Jesus? When was it?
You're getting weird, Pastor Vince.
No, I'm getting real. It's biblical. Make a joyful shout to God. We'll shout for sports teams, but we won't shout for the Lord God Almighty. What's wrong with that, y'all? Like, let's be real. Shout for Jesus. Make a joyful noise for the Lord God Almighty. Make a joyful noise. Look at what we see in verse 2. Sing out what? The honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. The psalmist now moves to tell us to sing and how? Honor his name. Now there's a link to what we saw Sunday when we talked about in the name of Jesus. We saw the importance within Jewish culture of the name. The name isn't just a name. The name covers the character, the personality, the essence, the whole being of that person is seen in the name. And his name matters. Remember, let's remind ourselves for within the Jewish culture, what would be thinking when they think of the name. Remember when Moses is in Exodus 3 with the Lord and speaking in this moment and getting sent. And Exodus 3:14, God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel. Because Moses asked, what shall I say with the name? What shall I tell them? Because he knows whenever the Lord's name comes, there's a title with it. What do I tell them? How do I go forth right now if you're telling me to? I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial to all generations. The power of his name. Abraham, what did we see? Melchizedek, God Most High. Later, we also saw Abraham hearing Almighty God, the everlasting God. The Lord will provide. When Hagar saw God, what was God then? You are the God who sees. So we see this come throughout, and it's important here as we look at this. Sing out the honor of his name. I am who I am points to Yahweh. That passage that we looked at, it points to the fact that God is. He is. He's totally independent. The name we honor, that is the name we honor. So it's this call here to honor of his name. The Lord God Almighty, every single title that I said and talked about, Abraham's, Hagar's, all of those, all point to the name we give honor to, the Lord God Almighty. And then notice what's given here, make his praise glorious. So there's a little bit of a call there also in this praise, make it glorious. Don't just praise the Lord half-heartedly. Don't just praise the Lord, it doesn't really matter. I love you, Lord. No, make it glorious. So we're all going to start voice lessons at Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. We'll be beginning tonight at 8:30. No, I'm kidding. But do you put in the effort to tune the instrument of your heart before you sing praise to the Lord God Almighty? All of us have that instrument. That's where it flows forth. Do you tune it? That the praise would be glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. His works, what happens because of his power? The enemies submit. Submit there is that cringe and fear before God. Worship is the bowing, kneeling down before him. This isn't what we do out of an awe. This is out of seeing his power and recognizing, I don't want to mess with that. Think of Pharaoh. We're going to see the reference to the beautiful moment when he freed them from Egypt. Pharaoh knelt, submitted to the power of God. It wasn't like Pharaoh was like, oh, I worship this God. It was like, whoa, I don't want any more going on. What do we see in Philippians? We're going to be there in a few weeks for Resurrection Sunday. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Then all the earth is going to sing to him, sing praises unto him, all to his name. And then we see that Selah, that pause. And there's a few, there's that the two, three Selahs in this, but when we see this first one, it stops. Do you praise? Ponder. Do you praise him? How do you praise him? And what value do you have in his name? What value do you have in his name? It was interesting today getting gas on the way here and getting a cup of coffee and some other things, Long Island. It hit me and I had moments of just listening to how the name of the Lord would come up. And I was grieved. And some from professing Christians saying, oh, and his name. And they're not saying, oh, his name for worship or praise or prayer. They're just saying it as though they'd say something flippant and recklessly. Saints, do you value his name? Notice we are to sing out the honor of his name. What is your reverence for the name of Jesus? For the Lord God Almighty. We keep talking about the need for healthy reverence of the Lord God Almighty. And when I see the way people so lightly take God, challenge yourself. Ask the Lord, convict me. This has been my prayer. Lord, convict me in those moments where I think or use your name lightly. Because I want to just use your name in worship and praise. You could say again, I've brought this is coming up a few times in the Psalms, but it's for a reason, saints, because in the time we're in, we're the light for this dark world. How hypocritical if the light of this world takes the name of the Lord God Almighty and uses it lightly, uses it to express frustration. Now, there's crying out in prayer, but I'll tell you what I heard. That wasn't crying out in prayer. And I also challenge you, speak up. When I now hear people say Jesus Christ in a way that is not to revere and awe him, I love just going, is the Messiah? Do you know him? Let's focus, people. Stop using my Lord's name like that. And I'm sorry, I'll get off this rant in a moment. But when we think of our culture today, where words are so important, why is the bride of Christ letting his name be used like mud and muck? Stand for the Savior. Stand for truth. Moving on, verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. So we see that we're to praise. And now we get the reminders of why. Why we praise because of the awesome things he's done. The awesome things he's done. And notice the focus here. Call to all the earth, worship. And now we're going to talk about the awesome things he's done for the apple of his eye, his chosen people. Look at the first one we get. He turned the sea into the dry land. We know there, Exodus 14. And then they went through the river on foot, in allusion to Joshua 3, the crossing of the Jordan. Let's turn to Exodus 14, actually, and remind ourselves of this. Because in the context of this, we have to realize, we have to remember this beautiful moment. It's the birth of a Jewish nation. It's the birthday, you could say. I put that in air quotes. But this is significant. This is so important. This is what Passover is going to be about. I remember I had students when I was at the school in Connecticut who said, you know, Vince, can we do a Seder? And we'd love for you to come. And we came, and at the end, they have the part where they open the door. And boy, I said afterwards, I was like, we got to talk about what happens, because the door, the person you're waiting for, he's come. And the rapture could happen. And it led to a lively discussion. But see the hand of him in this moment. Look at verse 10. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. What a reminder of human nature. God's delivered. Think of this moment, the blood, the passing over, and now they're going and there's a little hiccup. The Lord's been faithful. We saw the titles that I just talked about, Abraham, Hagar, all of these, and a moment of fear comes. How is that human nature? Lord, what are you doing? This is hard. Why? Then we go on. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. There's some scholars who point to 365 times we see this in Scripture. You get one for each day. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Do not be afraid of the circumstance. Revere the Lord God Almighty. Stand still, be still, and know that I am God. Cease striving. Don't get lost in the circumstance. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace. Make that a memory verse. It's applicable to the child of God when we think of the spiritual realm and the battles that we face day in and day out. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Notice it doesn't say you're going to get what you want. It doesn't say hocus pocus, abracadabra, I declare. It says he's going to fight for you and you will hold your peace. And saints, by the blood of Christ, our peace is eternity with Jesus forever and ever. Let us not lose sight of that. And it goes on, skip to verse 19. The angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went with them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all that night. Boy, God of creation, Redeemer, Provider. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, and Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen, they all go, and we know what happens next. The same hand of the Lord, whew, destroyed. This is what we're talking about. It's the steadfast deliverance. It's the steadfast providing of God for his people. And the psalmist gives us that reality for his chosen people, for the apple of his eye, the Jewish people, preserving for that deliverance. And then we, grafted in, have the same thing, freedom from Egypt. That's what April 12th, Passover beginning, comes about. And guess what? That's a freedom that we all then celebrate, is what? The resurrection of the cross. Resurrection Sunday, and both of these things the same time of year. It's interesting. I know what's going on with the mic, but stop clicking. It's interesting that the Greek Orthodox Church, this particular psalm we're studying, they actually sing on Easter Sunday. And they see, when they do this, they see it as a psalm of thanksgiving, as a reminder of his faithfulness, as a reminder of the Gentiles that will come to Christ. Now do you see why, when we started this, I said how timely that the Lord would have us land in Psalm 66 tonight, on the eve of Passover, on the eve of Resurrection Sunday. And that first Selah was a call to praise and the reflection on how we praise. That second Selah that we see that we just went through is why? Because he is the deliverer. Saints, do you memorialize the resurrection power of Jesus in your life with praise? It's one of the songs we sing, because you stepped into my Egypt and you took me by the hand and I marched right out in freedom into the promised land. That song that we sing sometimes, Egypt. We all have the Egypt that we've been delivered out of by the Lord God Almighty. And we need to realize that. We need to do that. We need to memorialize it. And we need to praise the Lord for that. Praise comes from looking at who he is, looking at all that he's done. And then the psalmist brings us an important thing to remember. We praise him also because of the trials he brings us through. Look now. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Now we know that the trials, there's a disobedience factor that's coming in for Israel at this time. But notice, it's not the psalmist saying, Israel was so disobedient and look at all the things that the Lord did. No, because God has a purpose in all that he's doing. And we see here first, he's the source of all blessings. Therefore, he is to be blessed. Oh, bless our God, you peoples. All that were called Gentile, Jew, bless the Lord God. He's our God. And make the voice of his praise to be heard. Subtext, sing. Make it to be heard. That people will hear. And then look what we see now. Who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. It's the realization. We praise him. And he's the only one who sustains us. He is the only one who grants security. Saints, we can't forget that. I've been finding myself more and more when I wake up saying, thank you, Lord, for sustained breath through the night. Because that's his choice. Each time we lay our head to the pillow, the Lord could say, okay, this is your last night. You're coming home. And we don't know. So when we rise, give thanks. Give thanks. Thank you, Lord, for the sustained breath. Thank you, Lord, for this new day. And realize that he does not allow our feet to be moved. What are you facing that the world would say, oh, that's really serious. You better be scared. We don't need to be scared. The Lord God Almighty is in control. Now, this isn't to say it's cake all the time. But it is to say, bring yourself back there. To remember who's in control. Husbands and wives, that's why we have each other. Lean on your spouse. One's down. Come on, babe. Let's pray together. Remember who's in control. And then we hit the refining. For you, O God, have tested us. You've refined us as silver is refined. This is an important piece here. The refining. Question to you. How do you approach the refiner's fire? I remember back in singing days, whenever I would sing Handel's Messiah, I would do it at West Point so many times, and I would love rehearsing and practicing, for he is like a refiner's fire, because that coloratura, which is the runs in opera, I'd be like, oh, it's the refining fire. And then in my score, I would write different memories of being refined by the Lord, because it would just bring a little color in it. But there's that refiner's fire. Because saints, God's testing isn't to destroy us. What does Hebrews talk about? The discipline he loves. He loves us as a father. Father loves a son. It's refining. It helps us to understand ourselves. The refiner's fire shows us our weaknesses and our limits. And when we see our weaknesses and when we see our limits, guess what we got to learn to do? I trust you. Lord, I trust you. I can't do this. Lord, I trust you. I can't trust myself.
And that refining, that silver, when they refine it, that's temperature up, 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 so the silversmith can see his reflection in the silver. That's why that's the imagery, refined as silver, because the Lord wants to refine us to see his reflection in us. Thank you, Lord. Realize when you think about that, that's when it becomes such an act of love. Lord, you want to see me? You want to see you in me? What? Thank you, Jesus. And you catch what the refiner's fire is. James's call, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, has a different meaning. Because it's a joy, because it's an eternal purpose. He refines us. And in the context here, we know through the Old Testament, the Lord sought to refine Israel. Why do we continue to pray for Israel? Because there's a great refining coming in the great tribulation that we say, may they come to know him before that. May they come to know him. Men, last night we talked about the need to say, Father, search me, try me. We all need to pray that prayer. We all need to pray that prayer. When we look at this, we see you brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You've caused men to ride over our heads. It's that reality. You know, you want to be free, but then the Lord's like, nope, you're in the net. You're going to go and do what I say right now. The affliction's on our back. We just want to be light and free, but now there's a burden. There's a heaviness. And the defeats that Israel would face. And these moments of refining and trial applicable to all of us. There's all moments where we feel like we're in the net. There's moments where we feel like we have affliction on our backs. There's moments where we see, why are these people coming over me? Why are you allowing these things to happen? Why, Lord? We went through fire and through water. Unpleasant. We see the fire, we think of the three in Daniel chapter 3. But who preserved? Who kept? And we get that reminder, look what we see, how that all ends. But you. It's that but God. That's a nice thing to remember, but you. Whenever you see that but in scripture, that's a circle with a smiley face. Because that's like, the Lord's about to prove his faithfulness. Hallelujah. That's a rejoice moment. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. That's pointing to an abundance that we could never imagine. Because the trials we go through are for his glory. It brings us closer to his image. And the closer we are to the Lord, the richer we are. That's why it's about where do you set your treasures. That's why Jesus spoke so much on that. Because we can't set our treasures the way the world says. No matter how nice, shiny new things you have, that's not going to bring fulfillment. It will leave you empty. And I still haven't seen anyone who's been able to die and take all their possessions with them. It just hasn't happened yet. So where's your focus? What are you living for? And realize we're all going to go through fire and water. I like the way the prophet Isaiah reminds us through the words of the Lord in Isaiah 43. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. This is to the people of the Israel. This is the covenant God reminding what? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. What a gift to be grafted into. What a gift to be grafted into. He's created. We are his. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. This is the promise. This is the reminder, the security that there is in the Lord God Almighty. And it's interesting to have that allusion there and that reminder that that rich fulfillment we have. And then the psalmist now goes to what we need to go when we realize that, our individual intimacy with God. Look what we see in verse 13. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Selah. So we have now this other Selah. And it's this part to ponder your sacrifice unto the Lord. Because for the people of Israel, if we remind ourselves in Exodus 20, when we look at that, where does he start before he gives the commandments? God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I freed you. I delivered you. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. It's that steadfast intimacy with the Lord God Almighty. Notice the psalmist now shifts from we, our, to I, my. Because saints, there's corporate praise, there's corporate worship, but then there's the individual. And you've got to let the Lord know, where are you with the individual? You can't ride the waves of family members. You can't ride the waves of, well, I'm in church and I'm doing it and I'm standing when they're all singing. Doesn't that count? No, don't count. Where are you, individual? Bobby Joe, where are you with your praise? Where are you with your heart of worship to the Lord God Almighty? Where are you with your sacrifices and vows? Because we know when there was moments of distress, they could go to the temple, they would make sacrifices, they would make vows. But notice what he's giving here when we look at this. The fat animals, the sweet aroma of rams, bulls with goats. It's the best of the best. Saints, where are you with your sacrifice? Because when we see this, we too have a sacrifice to hit. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you didn't listen to the message when I was sick and Pastor David jumped in at the last hour, go back and listen to that teaching as he hits these verses. Saints, we're called to be living sacrifices. And when we think of that call to be a living sacrifice, and if we think of the woman at the well that's just hitting right now, Jesus says, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such worship. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's the sacrifice. That's the living sacrifice. Surrendering all of ourselves, anchored in the word of God. Bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, only going to do it through the power of the Spirit, which is why we keep talking about the Holy Spirit. And why I think the enemy's having a field day with Christians today. Because most churches, Holy Spirit, don't get weird. Let's leave that out. How are you going to be empowered? Yourself? That's why we need the filling afresh of his Spirit. That's why we need it. How is your sacrifice, saints, unto the Lord God Almighty? How is your sacrifice unto him? Truly, how is your sacrifice? Is your life a living sacrifice? If the Lord said to you right now, I need you to leave all these things, I'm sending you to go be a missionary and dot, dot, dot. Do you start to think, I got that cool thing planned. I just bought all those new. Where is your heart? Let's be sold out for Jesus. Let's be sold out for Jesus. Praise drives joyful sacrifice. I truly believe that. Praise drives joyful sacrifice. Because as you praise and remind yourself of who he is and set your heart to praise him unashamedly, you then are willing to say, Father, whatever you want. I want what you want. That's why we need to value praise. Verse 16, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. So we see the call for those who fear God. It's about fearing God, because guess what? If you don't fear God, if you don't revere God, all that we're talking about is not going to really make any sense. It's not going to hit. There's not going to be that bit. Where's your fear focused? Jesus told us to fear him, not those who have no ability over the soul. Where is the focus of your fear? And notice the psalmist talks about here, crying out to him with his mouth and extolling him with the tongue, praising him. It's a dual beauty that's got to take place. Crying out to God, praising God. Take it all to God. It's a theme we see in Psalms. Don't take it to TikTok. Don't take it to Twitter. Don't take it to Instagram. Don't take it to your little blue messages on the iPhone or your green messages on the Android. Don't take it to those things. Take it to God. Go to God. Go to God. But notice he gives us an important nugget in the midst of all this about praise. He gives an important reflection here. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Regard there meaning cherish, meaning to hold on to. This is the one unwilling to confess or forsake known sin. I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to keep doing it anyway. And then we think and we see these things of different folks, you know, when I pray, that just the Lord's not hearing, and then they're it's a double life. Or it's just that awareness where you're not actually having that life of repentance. You need to. Repentance is a necessity. It is a necessity. We got to ask ourselves, how's my sin life? How's my repentant life? And I mean that. How's your sin life? Go through. Ask the Lord, search me. Is there anything that you need to say and lay? Lord, I'm sorry. We can't forsake that search me. And we've got to be real with sin. Can't do the thing, well, I know I really shouldn't be doing this, Lord. I'll get there, but, you know, I'm busy. No. We got to be real. We got to address it. We got to lay it to the foot of the cross. And dare I challenge the bride of Christ, let's not do the shoulder pat. That's what I call it, where, you know, somebody comes to the sin, brother, I'm so sorry. It's okay. The Lord forgave you, and then you pray. But that sounds good, Pastor Vince. No, we're making light of sin. Call it out. What were you thinking, man? Why'd you do that? What was going on? We got to, and I'm not saying being mean, but we've got to be serious about sin. I think we've created a Christian culture that enables sin with the pat on the back and everybody feels good, sing kumbaya. And then we wonder why we see what we see. We've got to be real. We've got to lean into accountability. And saints, don't be discouraged by what I'm saying. Because think of the prodigal son, the portrait Jesus gives us in Luke chapter 15. How did the father receive him? Open arms. Just get over here. So realize something. When you get to that place of repentance, the Lord's excited. He's just there. Come on, teddy bear hug. He's excited. Be encouraged by that. Don't let the enemy hold you in the bondage. I'm not going to repent. I don't want to go there. I'm going to hold on to this thing. No, he's excited when we repent. So go to him. Do it. See the sin. Confess the sin. Proverbs gives us a reminder if we try to cover it up, because there's times where we think, I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to talk to you about this, Lord. I'm not going to give this to you. Well, he who covers his sins will not prosper. Proverbs 28:13. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Because that's what we all need. Mercy. I'm guilty, but I'm not going to get what I deserve. Whoo, what a blessing. Every single person in this room is guilty. We deserve death, but we're not going to get it.
we're not going to get it. Clearly, the psalmist has practiced this discipline because he knows, but certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. And he doesn't say, but certainly I'm perfect and have no sin. No. Context reveals he's clearly done this work. And he knows that as I'm repentant, the Lord hears me. Think of what we saw in Daniel 9 men last night when we saw the beautiful repentance for humanity in that. And then what comes after that, that beautiful vision. And then where does this all lead to? Verse 20. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. This psalm of praise ends with that. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. He praises because the Lord didn't turn away the prayer. Notice he focuses then on what he receives, and may it be our focus, God's mercy. Because he says, he's not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Because that's the heart of the thing that we truly get to praise for, his mercy. It ends with praise that he hears. It ends with praise that he grants his mercy. The psalmist here cherishing the gift of prayer. Do you cherish the gift of prayer? The psalmist cherishing the gift of praise. Do you cherish the gift of praise? The psalmist reminding us in the midst of all this, you hide your sin, you're not heard. Own the sin, you have mercy. You have mercy. God's mercy. We're never going to be perfect, but we can praise the perfect God who chose and came for Israel, formed a covenant, promises to bless everyone through them. We then get to be grafted in, and we get the mercy and grace. And for that, we praise. That we praise. And that we seek to be that living sacrifice, living for him, delving into the word, knowing when we fall short, he's there to give that hug. That's why we give that praise. The song, one of the other songs we sing, I love Endless Praise. I can't wait for eternity. And we can't wait because we how good you are, and we're going to be with you forever and ever and ever and ever. Charge for this week. One, how's your heart with his name? How's your heart with his name? Take some time to think about that. Two, are you a living sacrifice? And what's in the way of being that? Are you a living sacrifice? What's in the way of being that? And three, going to get a little old school English on this one. What dost thou regard in thine heart? What dost thou regard in thine heart? Regard means cherish. Hold on to. What are you cherishing in your heart? And be real with the Lord, because we need a life of repentance. And I think sometimes we can think, well, repentance is only the really, really big things. I'm not that bad. I'm not doing the big things. Sin is sin is sin is sin is sin is sin is sin. So just be real. How's your heart with his name? Are you a living sacrifice? What's in the way? And what dost thou regard in thine heart? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you for this hymn of praise. And Lord, the lessons gleaned from praise and praise that reflects on who you are and all that you've done. And reminds us, Lord, of the need to empty. To confess, to seek to be clean before you, our King. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for you, Father God. Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness. Lord, for who you are, Father God. Lord, help us to ponder your name this week, Lord Jesus,
and to give you praise and thanksgiving, Lord. Help us, Father God, to empty ourselves, to be the living sacrifice that you call us to be, Lord Jesus, for you. Lord, help us to let you search our hearts, Lord. Have your way in and through us, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. I'm going to have us stand and sing this. This is one of those funny moments that I like sharing when they happen, because as I was doing this teaching in the back of my brain a few times, I was like, wow, Worthy is Your Name is such a good song that we sing tied to thinking about this. So let's sing this song to the Lord.
My cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Now my shame is gone, I stand amazed in your love undeniable. Your grace goes on and on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names.
Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Be exalted now in the heavens as your glory fills this place. You alone deserve our praise. You're the name above all names. Name above all names. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy. worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Oh, thank you, Father. Is there anything you want to just give praise to the Lord for? Just shout it out if there's anything you want to give praise for.